Save big on your next project right now at Menards. From mold and mildew stains and hard-to-stick surfaces, preparing your paint project has never been easier than with Bullseye 123. Zinsser Bullseye 123 Primer is an all-purpose, high-performance, water-based primer for interior and exterior residential, commercial, and industrial applications. Save big on Bullseye 123 Primer. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Stripe helps many of the world's most influential companies grow their revenue and build a more profitable business. Whether it's Hertz making checkout a smooth ride for their customers, OpenAI answering unprecedented demand, or PGA chipping away at back office inefficiency, Stripe's financial infrastructure platform helps companies achieve ambitious goals. No matter what success looks like for your business, Stripe helps ensure the complexity of financial systems doesn't get in your way. Learn more at stripe.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Patients who could vacate hospital beds are unable to do so due to a chronic shortage of home carers, with some 47 patients deemed fit to leave over 6 months ago still stuck on a ward. Now, that's according to today's Irish Independent. What are the main issues with the current home carers system? Could those issues be addressed and fixed? And what part do nursing homes play in the delay? Well, I'm joined by the founder of Home Care Direct, Michael Harty, and by Colin Burke, Fine Gael spokesperson on health and TD for Cork North Central. Good morning to you both. Michael Harty, we'll go to you first. Home Care Direct, what exactly is it? How does it work? And how is it different to any other agency that provides home care?
Yeah, Pat, Home Care Direct is basically an online platform, and our aim is to, where appropriate, enable carers or personal assistants to work directly with families, without the need of a middleman.
Okay, now, typically what happens with the HSE, they have their own home carers on staff, but they also contract a lot of work out to agencies.
That's right. About 40% of home care is delivered directly by the HSE. Around 50% is outsourced to for-profit providers and a further 10% to not-for-profit providers through a tendering process. Now, it's very much a one-size-fits-all system. You take Mary and me. She's late-stage dementia, very little family support. She gets a wraparound service from the agency. Take Catherine in Cork. Catherine is a retired nurse. She has mobility issues, but she's full capacity. She has, her daughter's living down the road. She gets the exact same package as Mary and me.
Irrespective of need.
Now, that's an efficient use of resources.
Inefficient. Okay. What about what they pay the agency? We've often heard about disparity between what the agency is paid per hour and what the person who's actually doing the work is being paid per hour. And it seems to be quite large.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly is an issue. The HSE pay, on average, around €27 an hour to agencies to provide care. Around €12 gets into the carer's pocket. So there's quite a lot of leakage to overheads and administration costs or whatever, which is fine when it's needed and when the agency is adding value added to Mary and me. But how much value added are they adding to giving to Catherine down in Cork, who doesn't need that wraparound and probably
okay,
doesn't.
Now, the agencies may ring. I don't know whether they have holiday pay arrangements and all of that that might eat into the €12 or the €27 and therefore reduce it ultimately to 12. How much is pure profit? How much is heat, light, and administration overhead?
Yeah. Well, perversely, the problem we have in home care is that caring is not an attractive career. But perversely, it is a profitable and fairly lucrative business.
So for the people who are doing the work, it's not an attractive job. For the people who are administering the work, it's a great job and a profitable one.
Absolutely, and shown by the fact that most of our large, the top four or five providers would be foreign owned with heavy private equity investment in them.
So, how are you different?
Okay, so we're different, and what we're trying to do, as I said, is where appropriate, is remove those costs and try and get more money into where it has most effect, into the carer's pocket. We take a commission on the work that goes through our platform, 16%. What we're doing is making it easy for a carer to work for themselves. We handle all their administration, we handle the invoicing, we handle their tax returns. So all they have to do is concentrate on onboarding clients and delivering great care.
But you are not contracted to the HSE.
No. So
that means if I need your Home Care Direct platform, I have to pay for everything myself.
Privately, which is the problem. And this is what I was saying earlier about it's been a one-size-fits-all system. And we have a situation at the moment, Pat, where over 6,000 people have funding but don't have home care because there's another carer there.
Are you suggesting that the HSE should say, OK, you've got the funding, we can't sort you out with a carer because our agencies, all their carers are fully working, or they have COVID, or they're sick, or they're, you know, whatever. But look, here's the money. Sort yourself out.
Yeah, well, where appropriate, yes. But Pat, we're not reinventing the wheel here. I mean, what we're talking about here are personal budgets. Personal budgets exist in most other jurisdictions, and it's the way that people introduce choice into the system. In the UK, under their 2014 Care Act, whenever somebody gets their equivalent of a home care package, everyone has the option to opt for a personal budget, or indeed what they term a direct payment, which is where the HSE would actually lodge the money into your account. So absolutely, like Mary Butler has around 700 million to spend on home care. She's spending around 500 million out of that. There's 200 million sitting in a bank account somewhere. Surely it would be better to give a family
access to that money where appropriate. We are cynical about the way people exploit our social welfare system, our health systems and everything else. So there are bureaucrats in the Department of Health saying, or in the HSE saying, we're not going to do that because we give them the money and then they don't spend it on the person who actually need it. They go down to the bookies or go down to the pub or go down to the bingo, but they don't spend it on the person for whom this money has been designated.
But there are ways of controlling that. What I'm saying is that there's no need to give the money to. The HSE will hold the money and they will pay out invoices from the people.
Okay.
From the people that.
So, if, for example, you find someone, a neighbour or whatever, who's prepared to do this work, and there's a certain budgetary allowance, and it's invoiced accordingly, who would determine the rate at which it's invoiced? You can't say €50 an hour.
So roughly it's costing the HSE €27 an hour. So let's say Catherine down in Cork, she's been given 10 hours a week. That's a budget of €270. Catherine should have that budget to spend as she fits. So what she could do with that, she could maybe end up paying a carer €22 an hour and get maybe 15 hours for her budget. Now, Catherine is taking on some extra responsibility. She's managing that day-to-day relationship with the carer. She's probably maybe had to source that carer as well. But that's Catherine has the capacity and her family members to manage that budget.
And you're saying that your platform could do that at a commission of 16%.
Yeah, well, that's one way, but there are other ways. But absolutely. So what we could do is provide, is enable that kind of a system in a safe and tax-compliant manner.
All right. It's not happening at the moment. It could happen. Let's talk to Colm Burke. Colm, you've been listening to this, and I know you have concerns about the reporting in the Irish Independent today that there are almost 50 patients who've been perfectly fit to be discharged, but in a hospital bed for over 6 months. Now, getting those 47 patients to exit would not solve the trolley crisis, but it would help another 47 people get a bed quicker.
Just in relation to the discharge from hospitals, I have a concern about what has occurred over the last 2 weeks. As you know, the Nursing Homes Ireland have done a survey where out of over 430 nursing homes, 147 had 760 vacant beds. So that's on the nursing home side. In relation to the people who are in hospital for more than 6 months, many of them have complex needs. So it's not a case of they being required to be discharged from home. I'm aware of some of these cases, and it's complex, and it's trying to get the appropriate care package in place for them, probably in a step-down facility, and that's one of the problems that you have
now,
with people
a
there.
A step-down
in
facility, you know, there the term nursing home is used because there's supposed to be nursing care of a reasonably sophisticated variety available in those places. They're not retirement homes, although for many people that's in effect what they are. They don't have great medical needs, but they don't have anyone maybe to get them up in the morning and so on.
Yep.
But a nursing home is supposed to have nursing care. Why do we have so many vacant spaces which could accommodate people unused?
Well, this is the point I've raised, in that over the last 8 weeks, I've been in contact with a number of nursing homes, and they've had very little contact from the HSC in that 8 weeks about, you know, have you additional capacity? Can we discharge people to your nursing home? Can we contract additional beds with you? None of that, that conversation did not take place. And that's why Nursing Homes Ireland came along and did their survey. And can I just go back to what Michael was saying earlier about, you know, nursing home care and home care? Back in 2020, I introduced a private members bill in the Dáil, and it has been debated in the Dáil about the regulation of home care. For instance, we have over 40 home care providers. They are there. There is no statutory footing there in relation to the provision of home care. And we need to have a proper structure put in place. I've been working with the Department of Health on it since I published that bill. They intend coming forward with their own legislation. And I do think what Michael is saying is appropriate. But it's about making sure that we have the proper checks and balances in place as well. And for
are
instance,
you sceptical about Michael's platform?
No, I'm not. I think it,
because
I think
it is based on, you know, trust and goodwill and ethics and so on. But pretty much everything in this area depends on the good offices of those who are providing a service, that they do it ethically and responsibly.
Absolutely, but what I'm saying to you is that there is no actual statutory regulation. And remember, in relation to nursing homes, you can go back to 2003, 2004, we had no proper structure in relation to the regulation of nursing homes. And it's as a result of litigation, which I myself was involved in on behalf of clients, that it subsequently transpired where we actually created the whole Fair Deal package, which was developed over the following few years as a result of legal challenges against the health boards and the Department of Health. The Department of Health ended up having to refund over 400 million, where they were deducting money inside in public nursing homes, where there was no legislation which allowed them to do that. And when we challenged that, then they had to set up the whole refund of that 400 million. And then it led to the creation of Fair Deal. Likewise, we need to create a similar type structure in relation to home care. And remember, Pat, we have over 760,000 people, now over 65. Within 7 years, there will be 1 million people. And if you look at the attendance in accident emergency departments in the last 2 weeks, there was over 8,186 people attended accident emergency who were over 75 years of age. You go back to 2019, the same time period.
It's where you were in opposition, Colm. To be quite honest, I mean, you've been in government. The Taoiseach and the Taoiseach have both been health ministers. You know, your party's been governed a hell of a long time, and you're talking about setting up these structures. These are not new problems. What's the tardiness?
But in fairness, the Fair Deal scheme what is set up. And
it's been a long time going round the blocks, that Fair Deal scheme. It may not be fit for purpose.
No, the Fair Deal scheme is working well because we've over 23,000 people in private nursing homes, and they're providing a very comprehensive package for people. In relation to home care, I have not been sitting down doing nothing on it. I've gone to the trouble of publishing a private members bill and pushing it forward with the department, and hopefully the department will come forward with their legislation as regards setting up a proper structure. And we need to make sure that we can deliver the home care. And one of the things that the government has done now, for instance, in relation to home care, they're granting over 1,000 visas or permits for people to come in from abroad to provide home care. And this is a challenge not just in Ireland, but in a lot of countries as regards getting an adequate number of people to provide
home care.
Okay,
what would you say to Michael's point, though, about this is a very attractive business for the investors, not a very attractive business for the people who provide the investors with their profits? Because, you know, €12 an hour and inadequate allowances for transport and so on.
Absolutely.
Like, and why would anyone do that job?
But that's why we need a proper statutory structure, and that's the reason why I'm pushing for this. The other issue in relation to home care, remember, in relation to the cost of providing home care, as well as the labour cost, you've also the admin cost, but you also have the whole cost of professional indemnity insurance, which has to be provided. And that's an extremely important part of the costs as well. So, you know, there's a lot of additional expenses that are there that the HSE are covering in an overall budget. For instance, it is estimated that where in a HSE are providing, say, an hour care, 1 hour's care in a day, it's really costing the HSE around €35 in real terms because of the admin costs, the insurance costs, the cost of labour, all of that. And like the big challenge that we have in the home care.
I mean, if these businesses are profitable and people want to go into them as businesses, even though the people at the front line in these businesses are not making what would be regarded as a decent wage for what they do, there's something wrong with the structure that makes it lucrative for the investors.
But the problem, Pat, is that at the moment, the private home care providers are finding it difficult to get staff. Likewise with the HSE.
Well, if they're only paying €12 an hour, are you surprised?
But Pat,
if you look at the HSE, the South-Southwest region, for instance, you go back 2 years ago, there was over 1,800 people working in providing home care for the HSE. These were people employed by the HSE to provide home care. That dropped by 400 in a very short time period, came down to 1,400 in a very short time period. And that's in the Cork
region. And do you know why?
Because it's a difficult job. It's a demanding job. I would imagine that there was the issue whether remuneration was adequate. And then there's a whole...
Yeah, what did the HSE pay per hour, by the way, to their home carers, as distinct from the people who work freelance for agencies?
I'm not clear on
it's
what
around
the
14
full,
euros
the
full, an hour.
14
I think
it's so around
14.
Much better. It's not much better, but they would have guaranteed hours and
yes. holidays.
Exactly,
all of that.
Yes.
Carers
and
also, with private and providers would be generally on if and when type contracts. So when there's work for them, they're paid. When there's not work for them, they're not paid.
Okay. Now, going back to you, Colm, you know, 1,000 workers will get visas, permits to come working here, and they're going to be paid by these private contractors €12 an hour. So if you're doing...
No, my understanding is that the contracts that have to be offered, it's like anyone coming in on visas, there's a set figure. I'm not sure what the figure has been set. I know that in relation to...
So
28,000
a year.
So the strange things, Pat, is so these 1,000 carers who are going to be being brought in from abroad, they have to be paid well. Why don't we just start saying, no, pay Irish carers well, firstly, in the first place? They have to be paid 28,000 a year, which is a somewhat decent wage, whereas the Irish carer who's working alongside them is on an if and when contract getting €12 an hour. There's something perverse about that.
And that's part of the reason why we need to have legislation in place to make sure that there is proper and adequate remuneration paid to carers. And that's the reason why we need to keep and why I've brought forward a private members bill and why I want the department to come forward with legislation dealing with this particular area.
And how are these people to be housed given the housing shortage? 1,000 people coming in on a relatively well below the average industrial wage. Are we looking at, you know, Irish students going to Peterborough to can peas and, you know, sharing beds almost?
Pat, one of the things, for instance, if you look at what occurred in Israel, one of the things that they did was they granted over 5,000 visas to people from the Philippines to live in. Likewise, if people come in here who are coming in under a contract of 28,000 and they're living in, there is a clear guideline in place that they can only do a set number of hours. So you're not on call 24/7. If you're living in, there is a clear time frame. And I know some of the agencies that are involved in this, they provide contracts as regards the hours that
when you're talking about
does.
Living in, are you talking about living in the carer's house?
If they're living in the carer's house, they're still they cannot be employed for more than the hours set out in the contract, which I think is around 37 hours per week.
Who's going to check up on that?
Well, in fairness, there is regulation there on that area, and there has been rulings already in relation to this on this issue. So it's not a case that someone is on call 24/7. And I myself have been involved in providing one of those packages for people where it is strictly must comply with the terms of the contract. And if it isn't, then you're in breach of the law.
Now, going back to Michael's idea that you allocate a care budget to a family and then they can spend it as they see fit. What is wrong with that, particularly if the invoices were going to be paid? It wasn't like money in the pocket so they could go to the bookies. It's money that would be paid only on receipt of a properly presented invoice.
My understanding is that that is available from the HSE. I mean, I'm open to correction on this, but that some families do get a budget and that then you have a lot of coordination with the local public health nurse in relation to the care being provided. So there is that constant contact with the public health.
That's not the case. Under the older person section of the tender, you have to be on the approved providers list to provide a home care package. Now, interestingly, the tender does give the HSE an out, and it says clearly, if our tier one or tier two providers can't provide care, we reserve the right to look at other options. So legally, they have the option to look at giving a budget to a family.
I've actually seen it done in the South-Southwest region.
It is a rare occurrence, Colin.
I accept that it's a very rare occurrence, but I have seen it put in place.
Yeah. All right. Now, I think we've opened a very interesting discussion because clearly there is a problem. I suppose the focus on it has been caused by the trolley crisis and almost 1,000 people on trolleys and the idea that terrible term bed blocker came into play, but also the nursing home saying we have accommodation, no one's using it. But I'll thank you both for a very stimulating look at the whole sector. Colin Burke, Fine Gael spokesperson on health, TD for Cork North Central, and the founder of Home Care Direct, Michael Harty. Michael, thank you for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Save big on your next project right now at Menards. From mold and mildew stains and hard to stick surfaces, preparing your paint project has never been easier than with Bullseye 123. Zinsser Bullseye 123 Primer is an all-purpose, high-performance, water-based primer for interior and exterior residential, commercial, and industrial applications. Save big on Bullseye 123 Primer. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.